So Romans chapter 1. So we have been walking through the book of Romans. Romans is a letter. It was written by Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. He did not know the people he was writing to. And if you're visiting with us, so we, on Sunday morning, we're walking through the book of Matthew. On Wednesday evenings, we walk through the book of Romans right now. So Wednesday evening is more like a Bible study that we spend time studying the Bible and praying together. So Romans 1, verses 11 through 15. So let's read the word of God. Romans 1, verses 11 through 15. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. For I long to see you, that I might impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. And this is the word of God. So what I would like to do as we walk through these verses is to draw two points tonight, two practical points from these verses. And we'll see what Paul is communicating with us. So this is the first point that I have for us this evening. Pray for a longing and a passion to encourage others in the faith. Pray for a longing and a passion to encourage others in the faith. Look with me, verse 11, Paul says. It's coming. Let's go verse 11 right here. For I long to see you. He wants to see the church in Rome. He wants to be with them. So as I mentioned earlier, Paul does not know the people in Rome. This is the first time for him to go to Rome to visit them. So he's writing to a church that he did not plant it. He's writing to a church that he does not know. And he's writing to them because he wants to go to see them so that they will become a hub for missions. And he said, I want to see you. And what is the purpose? He said, that I may impart to you, that the church, some spiritual gift to strengthen you. He wants to go to Rome to see them, to minister to them, so to impart some spiritual gift to strengthen them. Okay, the question is, when you read that, what does he mean by spiritual gift? Because the language that he's using here is the same language that is used in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4, when he's talking about spiritual gifts. So does that mean that he is telling the church that he will be able to impart to them some spiritual gift the same way that the Spirit of God will impart that to them? And the question is no. So Paul is writing here to them, and he's communicating to them that he wants to encourage them in the faith, but not in the way that the Holy Spirit will give them the spiritual gift. So there's a lot of discussion about the spiritual gift. Paul uses the same word, but a totally different context. Those spiritual gifts that are mentioned in Corinthians are different from what he's talking about here. For example, let me give you Romans 12. He says, for by grace was given to me, this is Romans 12, to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of the faith that God has assigned to them. And then he says, for as one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. And then he says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually individual members of one another. And then he says in verse 6, having gifts That is the word charisma, that differ according to the grace that was given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. So prophecy was one of those gifts. But here he says that those gifts that have been given to us, by whom? By God. So God is the one right here who gave them the spiritual gift. But then the same in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. And what is this? The gift, the charisma. And then he says to the Ephesians, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. And what he gave, that is Jesus. So here's what I want to share with you. Bring the camera here. When Paul says, I want to go to Rome to give you some gift, he's not talking about the spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit will give us. He's using the same terminology, the same language, but it's a totally different context. The gift that he wants to give them here is teaching and encouragement. But we see in Romans 12, the one who's given the gift is God the Father. In 1 Corinthians, the one given the gift is the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, the one given the gift is Christ. So this is an important principle for us to understand. Only God can give God. So Paul cannot give anything to them that does not belong to him. The spiritual gifts that we receive, they come from God. Paul cannot give those to people. Only Christ can give us the Holy Spirit, because only God can give himself to us. For example, when Christ promised to give the Spirit to the apostles, he says, go to Jerusalem and you will receive power from above, and the Holy Spirit will come on you. So Christ, as the Son of God, can give us the Holy Spirit. But I cannot give the Holy Spirit to any person, because I am not God. You are not God. So only God can give that which belongs to him. What Paul is talking about here is not to give a spiritual gift to them, but the gift of teaching. Does that make sense? And it's important for us to understand, because otherwise we'll be confusing the passage. And this is the principle that I want you to see. Only God can give God. When Paul says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the source of that peace and that grace is always God. Because I cannot give you grace and peace unless God gives you that grace and that peace. I cannot impart a specific blessing on you unless God grants us to us. We pray that God will save people, that the Holy Spirit will come on them, but we ourselves cannot impart that, because only God can do that. So that's something that I want us to see. And then he keeps going. He says in verse 12, let me go back to the beginning. Verse 12, he says, that is, that we might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So Paul wants to go to Rome so that they will be encouraged as he teaches them, but he will also be encouraged by them. And this is so important. Paul is the apostle. He wants to go to Rome to teach them, to bless them. But he also knows that as he is going to Rome to teach them, he will be blessed by them. So Paul is not arrogant. He's humble. He knows that he wants to teach others, but he will also want to learn from them. He wants to encourage others, but he also wants to be encouraged by them. And I think that is true of all Christians. We need to bless others, but we need the blessings from others. We need to encourage people in their faith, but we also want to be encouraged by others. Think about a mission trip. Right now, we're praying for 10 members of the church that are in Kenya, proclaiming the gospel, doing evangelism. I was texting with Mike Wyland this afternoon, and he was sending me a picture of Pastor David, Pastor Tommy, preaching, teaching pastors there, doing evangelistic campaigns in Kenya. So it's great. Those members of our church, they are blessing hundreds of people today. But you know what? They themselves are being blessed as they are serving others. When we serve others, there's a double blessing. We bless them and they bless us. And Paul is asking us to be an encouragement to others, but also to be encouraged by them. If I only think that I'm only giving you, and I'm not willing to receive, there is a problem there. We need each other. This week on Monday, I called a member of the church. He has been a member, I think, for the last 25 years. He is fighting cancer. He was diagnosed with a cancer last week, and it's an aggressive one. And he's going to have surgery next Tuesday. As I called him to pray with him and his wife, I'm listening to him, and he said to me, "Pastor, I'm so happy. I have a peace that I cannot explain to you. I know that I have a cancer that is very aggressive. I don't know if I will die or not, but I cannot explain to you, but I'm happy and I have peace because I know that the Lord loves me, that He is with me, and regardless of the outcome of the surgery, I will be okay." And he said, "Honestly, I'm having a blast. I feel like I'm a spiritual revival right now." And as I'm listening to him, sometimes like I'm listening and I'm being convicted by him. But you know what? I called him to encourage him, and he was the one encouraging me. And I saw the grace of God in his life and how he was confronting this challenge and how he was trusting the Lord in the midst of the affliction and the suffering. So I was not the one blessing him. He was the one blessing me. And Paul here says, "I want to go to visit you, to encourage you, so that we can be mutually encouraged in the faith. Because as I'm encouraging you, I will be blessed by you because of your faith in the Lord Jesus." But you know what? If you leave the Christian faith, the Christian life by yourself, without communion with others, you will not be able to enjoy that blessing. You need to have fellowship with others believers. You need to have fellowship with others. Enjoy fellowship with them. And I will tell you, that is one of the challenges for our church. We are so large that sometimes we can become too large to the point that we don't have fellowship and communion with other saints. And we have to be very intentional about engaging others, getting to know others. Ask people, how can you pray for them? Tonight, after the service, approach a person that you have never met and ask that person, introduce yourself and ask them how you can pray for them and pray for them. And I think that is what Paul is asking us. He's asking the believer that we should have a passion to encourage others in their faith. We should be intentional about encouraging others in the walk with Christ. So that's what we see here. That's the first point. Number two. We owe the gospel to our friends and neighbor. Proclaim the gospel to all. We owe the gospel to our friends and neighbor. Proclaim the gospel to all. And this is what we see here. It's not showing me the passage. Let me go back. There you go. Let's use that one. Can you see that right here? "I do not want you to be unaware," he says, "that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I might reap some harvest among you, as well as some of the rest of the Gentiles. And then he says, I am under obligation. The language, if you have a King James, will be a debt. Both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So Paul says, I am under an obligation. I have a debt to you. The language here in the Greek is ophelates, that there's a payment that I have to make. For example, that is the same language that is used in Matthew 6:12. He said, forgive us our debt as we also forgive our debtors. So Paul says that he has a debt with the church in Rome. Come here. So there's two ways for us to get into debt. If I go to someone and I borrow money from them, so I have a debt to them. But that's not the case, because Paul says, I have a debt to Greeks and to barbarians, to the wise and to the foolish. But Paul doesn't know them. He has never been to Rome. He doesn't know them, but he has an obligation with them. How was Paul was able to have a loan for them? So that's not the case. The second option is that someone will give you something and trust you with something so that you give to another person. Let's say Pastor Greg is right here. And I see Pastor Greg. I say, Pastor Greg, next week you're going to Missouri. There you're going to visit a church. I will give you a check from our church to that mission. You are entrusted by our church to take that money to that church. So now he has an obligation to take that money to that church, to bless them. But it's not that he was borrowing money from us, that we're giving money for himself. He is the one that has been entrusted. And that is the way that Paul has an obligation. Not because he needs to give them something that they gave him, but he received something from God that he needs to give them. And what is that? The gospel. He received grace from God. And now, because he received grace from God, before the Lord, he has an obligation to take the gospel to those who do not have that grace. And that is true of Paul and true of each person here who has trusted in Jesus. If you have belief in Christ to save you from your sins, and you put your faith in Christ, you received grace in Christ. But when Christ saved you, he also entrusted grace to you so that you would take that grace to others. So I want us to think about this. Your friends, your neighbors, you have an obligation before them. When Christ saved you, when he entrusted you with his grace, he appointed you as an ambassador to take that grace to others. So we as Christians have an obligation to proclaim the grace of Christ to those who do not know Christ. Years ago, I was listening to a stand-up comedian from Australia. And this guy was not a believer. He actually was an atheist. He professed to be an atheist. And he said to a group of Christians, if you believe what you say that you believe, that all people are sinners, and if they don't believe in Christ, they will go to hell. If you really believe that there's only one way for people to be reconciled with God, to be saved, and that way is Christ Jesus. If you believe that is true, and you do not tell me, you must hate me. That's what he said. If you really believe that, and you don't tell me that, it is because maybe you want me to go to hell. I said, that was the logic of a lost person. He said, if you believe that is the only way for people to be saved, and you know that I don't have that faith, but you're not telling me about, maybe you want me to go to hell. So I don't think that most Christians are thinking that people, that we want people to go to hell. But we are failing the obligation that we have before the Lord. And Paul says, we have an obligation with all people to proclaim the gospel to them. My brother, my younger brother, who I love, if he does not put his faith in Christ, he will not be saved. And we need to ask ourselves, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that the only way for people to be saved is by believing the gospel? If we do, and we should, because the Bible teaches that, we need to proclaim the gospel to all people. And then he says, verse 15, so I'm under obligation to both Greeks and to barbarians, both the wise and the foolish. That is the same. The wise are the Greeks, the foolish are the barbarians. And he has the obligation to all people. And then he says, so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Which is very interesting. So Paul is writing to Christians, and he says, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. He's writing to the church. Most of the time we think the gospel is for lost people. But Paul says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to the church. Why? Because Christians need the gospel as well. You and I need the gospel daily. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. I think one of the reasons we get depressed and sometimes overwhelmed with anxiety is because we are not reminding ourselves of the promises of God in Christ. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. We need to repent daily because we sin daily. And we need to bring the gospel to ourselves daily. Years ago, I don't know, many years ago, I was a young Christian. I became a Christian, and I was visiting a church in Northern Virginia. And I met the pastor, and he would preach every Sunday one message. And I came to him after one Sunday morning. I mean, I was maybe 3 months into the Christian faith, very new believer. And I said, Pastor, I have noticed that you do not preach the gospel every Sunday. Normally, you don't want to say that to a pastor. And he said to me, well, I know the church and all the people here, they are Christians, and I know they're all Christians, so there's no need for that. I didn't know any better at that point, so okay. So that was a year I left, I moved away, I came back to visit, and I went to the church, and it was the same group of people, but they were almost like a stock spiritually. They were the same way that I saw them a year before. They were not growing in their faith. They were not growing in their zeal for the gospel. They were not growing in passion for the word and for the lost. Why? Because they were not receiving the gospel consistently. Think about the gospel like the heart that is pumping blood into the body. If that heart is not sending blood through the body, eventually we will die. We need that heart to be sending blood into the body of the church. We all need the gospel daily. The gospel is not only for the lost. Yes, they need the gospel to be saved, but we need the gospel to grow in grace and in Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, preach the gospel to yourself daily. Remind yourselves of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. the moment we stop preaching the gospel to ourselves, that moment we will stop growing. We need the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourselves daily. And that's what the point that Paul is making here. I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also. So to conclude, I want to remind you, pray for a longing and a passion to encourage others in the faith. We owe the gospel to our friends and neighbors. Proclaim the gospel to all. And then preach the gospel to yourself. Let's pray together before we continue singing the Lord, singing praises to the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace in Christ. Thank you that someone preached the gospel to us. We know you today because someone was bold enough to share the gospel with us. So, Father, I pray that we will have a passion to proclaim the gospel to others, and we will have a passion to encourage others in their faith. That we'll be intentional about engaging others with the gospel. Father, if there's a person here who does not know you, I pray that you will save that person. That person will see his need for you. That person will see her need for you. And that they will trust in Christ today. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be faithful stewards of the gospel as we proclaim the gospel to others and as we proclaim the gospel to ourselves. Thank you for your grace. In Christ we pray. Amen.